Morning, everyone. It's nice to be back after a week away in the sunshine. But I come back, paid the price, as you can see. I've got a little bit of a breakout on my bottom chin because the sun was too strong for me. Being an Irishman, fair skin, and all the rest of it, delicate little creature that I am. You know, but that's enough about me. We're here to learn from the Lord. And I'm going to start with a reading from Philippians chapter 2. Verses 1 to 11, the Apostle Paul. That's right. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Powerful piece of scripture. So let's just come to the Lord in prayer before I begin. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to hear from you this morning and to receive your teaching. Because we know that once we hear it, if we take it and apply it to our lives, our faith will grow stronger and we will enjoy a closer relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you will strengthen me and embolden me this morning. Take my mind off any little coughs or whatever I may have. But Lord, I trust you to give me the strength to see me through this morning, because we want to hear from you. Use me as your instrument and allow me to deliver your message with your strength and your power and with your authority. And I ask it all in the name above all names, Jesus, your one and only Son. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Beware. Now, a lot of people, you look in signs and you're walking around and it says, beware, danger, electricity. So that's what beware that I want to talk about, the danger of not taking things seriously. In that passage we've read from Philippians 2, 1-11, the Apostle Paul, in this letter to the believers in Philippi, and to us, if we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he gives instructions who and how we should conduct our lives, reflecting and sharing his love with each other. It's important that we realize that other people will take notice and make judgment on how we conduct ourselves. They will decide whether we just talk the talk or whether we really walk the walk. And it's walking the walk that talks the talk, as it were. Because without the walk, you've no faith. Faith is all about actions. There's a well-known saying that actions speak louder than words. I'm sure we all recognize that this is how our children develop their characters and personalities. They see and hear everything that we do, good and bad. And sometimes it's us to blame for their misbehavior rather than them being willful, you're a bit disobedient. They pick up everything from us parents, whether it's good or bad. And normally the bad is more exciting. And especially if they come out with a little expletive that they've heard you say and someone laughs, it gives it more energy. And they think, oh, that's good, I'll use that a bit more often. And then we get embarrassed because everybody knows where they heard that from in the first place. So it is important that we take care of the way we conduct ourselves in their presence. We need to set them a good example so that they can follow it. It's also important that we correct them when the need arises. You know, because without correction, they haven't got a clue where they're going, just like we don't, unless we're corrected. A scripture points out when we read from Proverbs 13:24. It warns us, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. You know, I used to always hear the saying is, tough love. And love, it can be tough, especially with kids. It's times you've got to decide whether they need a little smack or a telling off. Now, I don't mean thrash them, I don't mean beat them up or whip them. But you know, I think, especially when a child is very young, if they're going near a fire, if you just tap their hands and say, you'll get burnt, that little tap just reminds them, well, if I go do it again, I'm going to get hurt. Or I'm going to get burnt. What do you want first? Yeah, they're not going to do it. But if you say, oh, don't go near you, mate, and then they actually get burnt, how will you feel then? You haven't given them the right direction. So I'm not saying go and start beating your kids. Yeah, don't take it that way. I'm just saying you've got to be aware of what is needed and how to direct people. Because everybody, every child will respond differently to different things. And it's important that we get to know our children just as we need to get to know each other as a fellowship. Now, society today, and it saddens me to say this, parents don't seem to follow the principles as Scripture lays down from God the Father. And it's my belief that that's why the youth of today have little or no respect for authority of any kind, whether it's from the parents, for the police, or for society in general. And you've just got to look at what's happened in recent events when the riots in Southport. You know, people going out and using an excuse. I don't care what happened. There is no excuse for the violence, the destruction of property of people who weren't involved in any way, in anything. The police who were there to try and protect people and quiet things down, their cars getting set on fire. You know, anarchy had just broken out. And that's all because, I think, a lack of authority and discipline from parents when they're young. And there is a price to pay. And we've seen the evidence of it on our televisions. Simply because they have not been given the right correction and direction from those who are supposed to love them. If only they would take heed of scripture warning in Proverbs 15 verse 5. A fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. If we've received the precious gift of God's Son, Jesus, we have a Father who cares for his children. And we know that the Lord disciplines those he loves. Because in Hebrews 12, verse 6, we read it. Because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son or daughter. It only says on son in my Bible, but I'll put on daughter because we're all together, all the same. Therefore, if you ever feel that God has disciplined you, you shouldn't be worried about it. You should be grateful. Because he's actually saying, you are my child. He's not saying, you're bad. I don't want anything to do with you. He's saying, I am giving you directions. I want to correct the way you are going. You know, it's good to know that God loves us enough to direct us. And just as we read, he only disciplines the ones he loves. Now, isn't that good to know? In fact, just as whether our children live up to our expectations, whether they are obedient or at times are disobedient, I'm sure that none of us stop loving them. No matter how hurtful it might be, we still love them. If you're a child of God, we remember that we are disciplined. And you'll know when you're disciplined. We read in Romans 5 and 8 that God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, if that isn't love, when we have been bad, I don't know what is. It's important that we remember, and we need to be aware that we will be subjected to and attract attention from the devil. He will try to discourage us. He may start asking each one of us, are you really worthy to become a child of God? He will try to discourage us by all sorts. You're not good enough. He will remind us of our past feelings. Remember when you done this, or you didn't do this, or you were bad to that one, or you kicked that woman's cat, or whatever the case may be. You know, he will. But if we accept his damnation of us, if you will, instead of reminding us, we should remind ourselves that our past feelings have nothing to do with being accepted by Jesus. Because we don't need to worry about the past when we've got Jesus in our life. Because he paid the price, as we've heard today, when we come around his table. He's paid the price for our sins if we've accepted his Son as our Lord and Savior. So, as I say, we look to the future. We've got to keep moving forward, because that's what faith is. Moving, not standing still. Keep moving forward. The Apostle Paul directs the Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Wow. You'll note in that passage, Paul is saying that it is only the strength of the Lord and God's provision of armor that will enable us to be overcomers and send the devil fleeing. Because we can't fight him. He's too powerful for us on our own. Even the Lord, when he was tempted by the devil, He just said, you know the scriptures. You should not tempt the Lord your God. But he had got the strength to do that. We ain't. He will just keep on trying to condemn us and get us to give up and stand down or walk backwards or stop still. You know, we need to be aware not to allow Satan to steal our joy, but to continue to grow in strength. And the only way we're going to grow in strength is by remaining in fellowship, as we learned in the first reading, and caring for each other and honoring each other above ourselves, because we are all God's children if we belong to him. And we're all got gifts which he gives us. And just like our own children, they're all different. They've all got different talents. Some are good and some are bad. But as a parent, you take what you get. And you know, God is exactly the same with us. He'll try and correct us, and he will succeed now and again, and for a while, and then times we just slip again. But he continually forgives us and wants to have fellowship with us. So why should we not want to have fellowship with him? You know, if as yet you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I suggest that you give it some very serious thought and take note of the scripture where Jesus makes it very clear in John 14, verse 6, where Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you see, without Jesus in your corner, without the covering of his righteousness, because we ain't got any of our own, we are going to be lost. If you haven't got Jesus in your corner, make no mistake, your destination cannot be heaven. And there's only one other alternative, and that is hell. And the choice, as they say, is up to each individual, and only they can make it. But again, as I started, the title of this message is Beware. Danger. Beware of the danger of delaying and making that decision, because none of us know how long we've got. I know I'm getting a bit closer than most, but I'm looking forward to it because I've got something to look forward to. You know, but it must be, I don't know, I think someone who doesn't believe in the Lord must have a stronger strength than I do, because I'd be petrified where I am now, my age, my health, and all the rest of it, if I wasn't sure of where I was going. And I know that when I get there, I'll be given a new body. I'll be perfect in every way, which will be a first. You know, no false teeth, no hearing aids, no bad breath, no bad breathing problems. Can run a mile and not have to stop every 5 minutes. You know, but it is difficult to understand. They must have great faith, I believe. But you know, I wouldn't change my faith for theirs, because I know that the faith I have is in a living God who loves his children and provides for each and every one that he loves. And he disciplines them. And it's in a nice way. He doesn't beat you with a big stick. Yeah. But at times, it would be less painful if he did. You know, it sounds strange. But you know, I would not change. One day, I would not go back to where I was before I met the Lord. And that was whenever I was 17, and that's a few years ago, you know. But there's never been a day that I've regretted my decision. And there's never a day that has cost me more than what the Lord has given me. Okay, it has cost me friends who have drifted away because my aspirations changed, my allegiance has changed, if you will. And I wanted to do things in keeping with the Lord. And we're still, I would say if we met today, we'd still be friends and chatting and what have you, but the friendship was just, and it wasn't painful, it was just a separation, a natural thing. But the one thing I am thankful for, that the Lord did provide me with a soulmate who's sitting in this church, and she's been one of the best gifts that God has ever given me, apart from my children, as well as my children, and the grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, you know, and the rest of the family. But you know, it is worth every minute to be known and call God your Father. It is lovely. And there's people in this world that don't know their Father, don't know who their Father is. But if they know Christ, then they know the Father above all fathers, the name above all names. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you love each one of us enough to send your only begotten Son to pay for our sins and to make it possible for us to come back into fellowship with you through the acceptance of your gift of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. And Jesus, we thank you that you are willing to be obedient to the Father and make it possible for us to accept you as our Lord and Savior, or not. It is a free will choice because you love your children and you're not a dictator. You want acceptance. And Lord, I just pray that whoever listens to this message, if not, they haven't already done it, they will accept you as their Lord and Savior. And I ask it in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.